The fact that it has spread like wildfire shows that the principles have something universal in them.
Something transcendent about them.
And I would agree with that. So obviously your philosophy is going to affect how you apply them, mm-hmm. but it perfectly dovetails with Philosophia Perennis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we kind of wanted to talk about a little bit.
Because it's rooted in nature, right?
I mean, which is God's laws. Mm-hmm. And
so I guess this is a good time. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie interviewing or having a conversation with Sister Maria Filomena. And the subject is joining a Catholic culture to permaculture. And now, since we're kicking the word around a lot, you've explained what it means, but permaculture, actually, I do have a question that I'll get to. I want you to contrast permaculture with polyculture. But before we get to that, I do want to say this. We're going to have some links on reconquest.net for this episode number 275, and the links will take you to certain permaculture websites. Sister talked about the diverse sort of very different kinds of people who are interested in this. And if you look at some of these permaculture websites and blogs and so forth, you're going to find some pretty weird stuff. So it's analogous to the way that you'll find staunch Latin Mass going traditional Catholics, straight-laced evangelicals, and pot-smoking, patchouli-reeking, tie-dye t-shirt wearing hippies side by side at a local farm co-op or at perhaps an alternative kind of naturopathic physician's waiting room, right? I mean, so you have for, oftentimes for different reasons, you know, you have people of extremely divergent views getting very strong convictions about something that is, say, outside of the mainstream. It's all an alternative to something that's currently highly messed up, say, in food or medicine or whatever. So, yes, some of these websites that you link to, they might have some weird stuff there because there are some you know, like libertarian types and certainly uber liberal types. Want to be responsible stewards of nature because it's God's gift to us. And God put Adam in the garden and he gave him the responsibility to keep it and to guard it.
To husband it.
However, you will run into actual real life pantheists, mm-hmm. and you know, earth worshippers and stuff. So, if you worship the earth or if you think that the earth is God's gift to you, you're probably going to treat it well both ways.
One for a meritorious reason and one not.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is don't be scandalized if you come across like, well, these are weirdos and hippies and they smoke dope. And yeah, you're going to find that. You just will. And you're going to find dope smokers who are lining up to get alternative medicines because they think that big farm is evil. Well, guess what? They happen to be right about that. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be these weird sort of points where people who don't think like us on the most important existential questions in life will be right about these other things. And by the way, the fact that they're right about it, that can actually be a point of evangelism.
Oh, which is, yes, I was going to add that because it provides you a connection, a starting point with them. Because if they see that, oh, you agree with me on this, mm-hmm. and then you go a step further, it creates that sort of initial interaction that allows you to take the next step. Okay. Hopefully be an instrument of grace.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I mean, I know for a fact that the sisters have had interactions with local farmers, and there's been kind of an opportunity even at certain farmers markets kinds of things. You know, the sisters are there passing out miraculous medals and as they're auctioning off their roosters and things like that.
That was at a farm, yeah.
Yeah, so it's made for some interesting evangelical outreach.
And to people that we might not have run into in mm-hmm. any other way, it's very providential.
Yeah, yeah. Now, could you briefly contrast permaculture with polyculture?
Certainly, but we talked about monoculture. Mm-hmm. So the difference of monoculture is the polyculture. So instead of growing all of one thing, you have mixed crops. You have your hay isn't all one variety. It's a mixture of things. Your pastures are mixed.
Are mixed with what? Animals or?
Yes, but even just the grasses, it's not going to be all one variety of grass. It's going to include legumes and clovers and a bunch of different grasses, and that's where the Stockman Grass Farmer, which is a publication that started back in the 70s, they were recognizing the importance of grass at the beginning of this whole, the foundation of this whole process. But anyway, we can come back to that.
Yeah, because this movement came out in the 70s, right?
Yes, yeah. a lot of these movements, whether it's the regenerative, there's different principles that you can look at. So you have sort of the broad regenerative agriculture, which is looking to rebuild, to increase fertility and do it by natural means rather than by artificial inputs. So you have sort of a general regenerative agriculture group, and then you have the people who are leaning heavily on these permaculture principles. Then you have people who are kind of take some of that and some of the regenerative agriculture, and they're doing more of a polyculture. Some of the listeners would be familiar with Joel Salatin's Polyface Farms, I believe. Joel's been a guest on Veritas.
David Simpson's show, yes.
Okay, so he does polyculture. He uses some permaculture principles, but his focus is on multiple species interacting in the most efficient and...
Complementary,
definitely, manner. And so the story of Polyface Farm is fascinating because they rebuilt, his father bought it in the 70s, an old farm that was totally messed up. It had 12-foot gullies. The land was rotten. They reforested parts of it. They rebuilt the fertility land that couldn't feed 12 cows. They're running hundreds on now.
Uh-huh.
It just the they increase the fertility rather than draw from it, and without having to add
acreage.
Add pesticides, add fertilizers. Uh-huh. Okay. It's all, I think the only thing he buys besides some paper products is chicken feed.
Okay. So then what's the difference between polyculture and permaculture?
So polyculture says I'm using multiple species. Permaculture says I'm going to design the property according to certain principles. So permaculture is more fun.
Could we do a timeout?
Yeah.
When you say species... I think animals, but we're talking animals and vegetable life, right?
Yes. So, that would include trees, whether timber trees, you know, wood trees or fruit, nuts.
So in polyculture, you have this concept of the using the natural symbioses that God built into nature, right?
Yes. And again, okay. This is my understanding from my reading. I am only a few years into this. So.
Okay. So then, what does permaculture add to that?
It adds a foresight. I heard one speaker describe it as, for every hour of work that you're going to do, you have 10 hours of design. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, for me, it's 100 hours of design. But yeah. So the idea is you think about it ahead of time. You observe what's going on your property. Where does the water run? Where is the light? There's a lot of groundwork that's done. And then the design principles are implemented to set up a very perennial polyculture
system.
Yeah.
System. Yeah.
It's a system that that benefits not only the earth. So it's helping the earth. You're leaving the earth better than you found it. It's helping the people who are living on it. And it's also helping the people to, not only in their health and their way of life, but it's also helping the people to be more in, I don't know, it's going to sound corny, but to be more in touch with where their food comes. What do they really need? It starts putting blocks up to the whole consumer culture and retail. And it changes a mindset.
Well, and as a little aside, just as sort of necessity drove us to this point, sort of like Aragorn having to go through the doors of the dead, you know, need shall drive him. Need drove us to doing some of these things for your health and for certain other things.
And just the fact we have this property, that what are we going to do with it?
Yeah, and need might drive a lot more people. And by the way, a lot of people have gotten that memo because you know that these places that sell the hatchlings or whatever you call the chicks and all that stuff, they're running out. You know, they've been running out, and you order and they're like,
and
yeah, we're way behind.
And everyone who does either permaculture design consultations or there's a whole bunch of different websites that you do how-to videos. They're mobbed.
Getting swamped.
They're totally swamped.
So people are getting the memo, but not to talk about what all the bad guys are doing, but it is a fact that, you know, Bill Gates, of course, is now, and it's well known,